And that's our mission. We are missionaries. We're seeking and saving that which is lost. Everything we do has a very real consequence to it, and we can look at it in a very temporal way, or we can look at it in an eternal way. And being a missionary is somebody who's chosen to see things through the lens of the eternal rather than the temporal.
Yeah, I think it's so vital that every believer understands that, you know, your mission field could be your office.
Mm-hmm.
It could be your classroom.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the cab that's, you know, makes up your 18-wheeler. You know, the loading dock of the business that you work at.
Yes.
It doesn't matter where you are. If you have a heart to win lost souls to Christ, you're a missionary. And wherever you are, that's your mission field.
Absolutely. I think about your situation being a chaplain in the NBA. There are people who are getting the gospel message given to them in the locker room of Madison Square Garden that may never get to hear it in the shape and the form that you're sharing it with them. And they're taking that back home to their families, and they're taking it back to their, and we've had people here on the show in past years and here in service. You can think of some people who have visited our church and also who have had contact with you, that continue to have contact with you, that have gone on to other aspects of their lives. You know, think of broadcasters and head coaches and all these people who were in your chapel service in Madison Square Garden. Now, is that not missionary work? I mean, to me, that message has gone into the uttermost parts of the world just by being faithful to the thing that God gave you in your hand right where you were.
Yeah. I mean, that connection is, well, it's beautifully illustrated in the fact that we had a player who played with us with the Knicks for a number of years. And one occasion he came out and he joined us for our Camp Life program in the summertime. And as he preached around the campfire that particular evening, he gave an invitation, and several young people at that time accepted Christ as their Savior. And now we've got grown adults with children of their own in our ministry, in our church today, that were led to Christ around that campfire by that player.
I have a student in my school whose father was led to Christ at that campfire.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, this is how God works. And I, you know, oftentimes when you develop these friendships with these players, and then, you know, much to their demise, you know, they get traded. They don't want to leave,
right,
but they get traded because it's a business. And I often say to them, hey, listen, remember something. You're not just going to another team. Now you're a missionary.
That's right.
You're going to go from New York, perhaps to Los Angeles or out somewhere in the middle of the country, but take that opportunity to share the gospel wherever you go.
Take it with you. And that's, you know, I think about, we've had the opportunity here in the city of Baltimore, Jim Pierce and myself and some others, over the course of the years, to have an outreach. And that, you know, we did the Baltimore City Youth Club years ago, and again, there are students that came to rallies and heard the message, actually even wrote songs about the message. I remember one in particular, and that they performed in our youth group. And then they now have children in our school. And it's incredible how God uses these opportunities. You know, he gives us this chance to capitalize on something that seems, it could seem insignificant if you're not looking at it through the right lens. But when we see the opportunities through the lens that God gives us, that's incredible. And, you know, being a missionary is, it's an amazing thing. And there is, we're not minimizing the fact that you, to pick up house and move across the ocean and live somewhere outside of your comfort zone, that's not an incredible call. And as I said, we've had the opportunity to do that. But I can say, as a person who lived close to 11 years outside the country doing missions work and lived here doing missions work, the mission is the mission no matter where you are. And those students, that those players that hear it, that go, they are taking that gospel message and going to another place and being a part of the gospel being given there as well.
Amen. So I just to lay that as a foundation, it's so critical that all of our listeners understand that, because sometimes you can, you know, look at the missionaries and begin to compare yourself and say, well, I've never stepped beyond the boundaries of my state or my local community.
Yes.
It doesn't matter.
No.
Just the fact that you might have or are praying for missionaries around the globe means you're making an impact in just the same way if you were there and sharing the gospel with those that, you know, are in your neighborhood. We want to give you the opportunity to join us, friends. The phone lines are open, and any time during the broadcast, if you'd like to join us and share a comment or ask a question, don't hesitate. Here are the numbers. Toll-free in all of North America, that is 800-338-7060. Again, it's an 800 number, toll-free, 800-338-7060. The local number here in Baltimore, 410-483-3700. I like what Brian said. He's written to us in our chat. Says, hi, pastors. I live in a building where there are 200 souls. Please pray for me as I desire to share Christ with my neighbors. Thanks. This is my mission field. Mm. Well said, Brian.
Yeah, amen, Brian. And we're praying for those opportunities. And it could be one of those souls, that spark that gets set, that could light the fire for a revival there in your building. And that's such an awesome thing. My brother-in-law comes from Finland, and he was in a small village where there was not a lot of people. And Pastor Schaller and the group that went to Finland all those years ago went to this little village and started a Bible study, and a revival happened in that village. And he's my brother-in-law today, lives here in Bel Air, and such an awesome example of just being available to go out and to do those things. Such an awesome thing.
You know, the calling of God, it starts in our lives. Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I believe it's verse 9, that we are called unto the fellowship of God's dear Son.
Mm.
And then, you know, included in that calling is the opportunity. And I'd like to say that that's exactly what it is. It's an opportunity to participate in the Great Commission, because that last command of Christ to his disciples, which was to go into all the world and preach the gospel, that really should be our first priority.
Mm.
And if you get a chance to do that, great. But again, there's, as we've been saying, there's lots of other ways and lots of other avenues which we can take that will contribute to that great goal.
Yeah, and I think sometimes maybe people complicate that. And I want to put an exclamation point on what you just said. Christ's last command that he spoke was to go and to make disciples. And that's the thing that we should be following, is our first command. But there are misconceptions. What does it mean to be called to the mission field? How am I called? I like the example of Saul and Barnabas in Acts chapter 13, that it says they're ministering unto the Lord. And while they're ministering unto the Lord, the Holy Spirit separated them, said, separate Saul and Barnabas unto me for my purpose, that I have a call in their lives. They didn't set out to say, I need to make myself the best possible missionary. They set out to minister to the Lord in whatever capacity it was that he had in front of them. And that capacity for us as believers, I never went through Christian high school thinking I'm going to be a missionary in Hungary in 10 years, or I'm going to be the principal of a Christian school. Those things just happen in the plan of God. As we're operating through the plan of God, they became evident. And I do think that there are many people in our ministry that have a huge part. You think about the armies of Israel that went out to battle. There were people that had to stay with the stuff. And they received just as big a blessing by staying with the stuff as those who went out and fought in the battle, because they were a very real part of that team.
No question. And we recall that story in, I believe, 1 Samuel chapter 30.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the men that were able and capable of going to the battle, they returned after the victory, and they said to David, hey, those guys that did not go with us into the battle, they shouldn't get anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm reminded of the work of the cross. You know, we reap the benefits of what Christ accomplished on the cross. It doesn't matter who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Strong Christian, feeble Christian.
Yes.
Filled with faith, maybe just a little bit of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Able to overcome, you know, unable to get out of bed in the morning. If you belong to Christ, you share in the victory that he won at Calvary. David said to his men, no, those that stayed by the stuff, as you just pointed out, just as important, just as valuable as those that went into battle, and everybody shares in the victory.
Yeah, amen. And equally, we could say that those that went out were incredibly motivated by the call of God. And there was a provision for them as they went. And, you know, we wouldn't, if we're doing a show on missions, we don't want it to have the full emphasis on not feeling like you should go. On the other hand, you are going. It's and again, missions is a condition of the heart. I like to think that in Matthew 28, when the Great Commission is given, it says go, right? But it doesn't necessarily mean go to Taiwan or go to India or go to Africa. It means go. Have an active faith vision in your heart. And as we're going, God opens up amazing doors. And that's a beautiful thought. You know, does God open doors? Yes. Does God close doors? Yes. Should I be discouraged as a person? Maybe it's on my heart as a young person. I'm in a teen ministry. I get a vision. The pastor's talking about let's go on a summer harvest. I go on the summer harvest. I get stirred up. And then I just put it before the Lord. Lord, would you? Could you? Would you? And I love to hear, to ask God those kinds of questions. Would you? Should I? Lord, but the key ingredient there is, as you said, being committed to the ministry of Christ and letting God draw us and lead us and carry us into a place where maybe in our natural we thought we'd never end up, but in God's call we could end up in a place that we never imagined being able to be.
Yeah, and that's why I think we need to take advantage of every opportunity that we're presented with today.
Yes.
You know, because I look back on my high school years and all of that time I wasted in French class, thinking to myself, there will never be a time in my life where I will set foot on French soil.
Yeah.
But yet, here I've been there at least a half a dozen times.
Yeah.
And what I wouldn't give to be able to communicate with those precious French believers in their own language. Yeah. It's not to say that there's been a barrier. We can always communicate. But the fact is, I regret the fact that I didn't take that opportunity to study that language.
Yeah. Well, there's good news. There's Rosetta Stone, so it's not too late.
That's it. All is not lost.
Although our brains do tend to work a little bit better when they're 16 years old than when they're a little older, as we are.
That's right.
But yeah, there are so many opportunities that are preparing us in our lives that we don't even realize are preparing us in our lives. And that's why I love being around the body of Christ, because our upbringing is really to find out what the will of God is and do it. And I love in our school, in our Bible college, in our ministry, there are so many different avenues that we could take with God. And none of them is to be minimized, or none of them is to be over-evaluated, you know, or over-revered. And I like the fact that, you know, our Bible college really has a specific call. It's not like many traditional colleges in the sense that it's kind of radical, in the sense that people are being prepared to go into all the world, whether that's here or there. They are learning how to be disciples. They're learning how to fall in love with their Bible. They're learning how to have a prayer life. They're learning how to walk with God. And many would say, well, there's practical details. Yes, there are. We don't minimize that. But there are a few that are, many are called, but few are chosen, in the sense of, I'm called to go. God, would you? Yes, I would. You know, here am I, Lord, send me. Those are great prayers to have as a young person, to say, could God call me to be a missionary? And if so, how do you think he does call us, Pastor Love? What do you think of some of the key ingredients about being called?
Well, you mentioned earlier in the broadcast about, you know, your heart being stirred.
Mm.
And I think sometimes just a visit, and, you know, we've put together these summer harvest programs throughout these years in the youth ministry here in our particular ministry. And that's been so important to stir the hearts of young people.
Yes.
Because so many young people think, I can't go. Mm-hmm. I can't be a missionary. And, you know, that word can't becomes like a coffin that they bury themselves in.
Yeah.
And then they take that step of faith, and God raises the resources and the money, and they go, and it really does stir their heart. And it makes them think, you know, not only did I go to the mission field, but now I know people in that part of the world, and I'm still communicating with them, and I still have contact with them. I've got friends in this part of the world, on this continent, and in that part of the world. It really does stir your heart. And I mean, this is like young people today, if you're studying that language, you know, go after it with some passion.
Yeah.
You know, you can be learning one or two other languages instead of trying to figure out whether you're a boy or a girl. Focus on something that can really benefit you in your future.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, there are certain things worth calculating. That's not one of them.
No.
But yeah, languages and you know, hey, who knows? I studied German in high school, and I went to a country in Hungary where Hungarian language, I don't know that I could have studied that in high school. It's a difficult language, but there were opportunities to use some of that German. Studied Russian in Bible school a little bit. There were opportunities to use some of that Russian. God gave us a great opportunity just to express by faith some things that he had put in our hearts and that the Holy Spirit had kind of stored up for us and called back to memory. And even if it's not being able to communicate perfectly clearly, and a lot of times we would say things that we thought were meaning one thing that meant something entirely different, which that can provide for some unique moments. But, you know, the people were blessed by the fact that we would give it a shot. And it was an opportunity, another fish hook for the gospel to say, hey, you know, these people love us enough that they are coming and attempting to learn something very difficult or not natural for them. And it was a great door opener. Yeah. You know, really an awesome opportunity.
And I think that it goes back to that question that you presented earlier, that we just say, Lord, look, you saved me by your grace. Mm-hmm. You called me. You plucked me out of you know, the vast sea of humanity. Now, there must be a purpose for my life. Mm-hmm. You know, there has to be a purpose for which you called me. I know that you called me for you know, to reveal your grace and to be the recipient of your eternal salvation and to save me from both the penalty and the power of sin in my life. Mm-hmm. But there's something more. And that, I think, becomes an incentive, a source of motivation for anyone to say, okay, Lord, what is that? Mm-hmm. And what, for instance, let me give you an example. Somebody may be called by God to be an extremely successful business person. Mm-hmm. But in the purpose behind that in achieving that kind of success is that they may have now means available to them to support the foreign mission field, mm-hmm. and the work of those that go to it. I mean, that's just one aspect of it. In other words, that businessman may never go to that mission field, mm-hmm. but he will be supporting those that are there. And that, I mean, they can't be there without his support. Yeah. So you can see how everyone in the body of Christ is connected with the Great Commission.
Yeah, yay and amen. You know, we support missions in our ministry through the offerings. We support missions in our ministry through donations, and God can raise people up. We had a really funny story in Hungary when my wife and I were there in our early days, and we were getting monthly support, and it really, truthfully, was very minimal. We had a little church in Maine that just had it on their hearts to give us $35, $50 a month, and for a family to live in Europe, that's not really cutting it. God had other ways to supply our needs, but I remember one day when we got our mission, we got our donations for the month, and I said, honey, good news and bad news. Which she went first. She goes, give me the good news. I said, our missions check came in. Awesome. What's the bad news? It's about $30. Okay, well, what are we going to do? Well, I think we should probably go eat dinner because we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we got $30 today, so let's go eat dinner. And we did, and we laughed about it, and we said, God, this is your call. This is your place to give us a provision. You have to come through. And we went and we had a meal with my wife and my daughter and I, and we came home and there was an email that said, you know, there was a certain person in the ministry who had a car accident and got a settlement today and wanted to tithe some money towards a missionary. And at the time I did not know this person. And they said they wanted to give to you. And so you have a check for, I don't know, $3,000 coming in your missions account. And we were so broken because we had nothing that we could do but trust God, which is what God wanted us to do wholeheartedly. And then he used us, and he used this person in an amazing way. So you're right. There are people who God is called to give. Now, how about the person who says, well, I don't have any money. I'm an older lady. I live by myself. What can I do? Oh, you could be a prayer warrior. Your prayers are worth more than any money would ever be worth in the eternal conflict. The fact that there are faith, and I think of somebody like Shirley Lynch, who's been around forever. And I remember Shirley Lynch at the the Lake Placid Olympics in 1980, chasing the U.S. hockey team up the street, giving them the gospel. And, you know, she's a prayer warrior. And I, every time I would come home for a conference, she would say, I'm praying for you guys. How's it going? We're praying for you. And I felt like we were supported in the ministry.
Wow.
Unbelievably.
So are you suggesting that Shirley Lynch had some impact on the Miracle on Ice back in 1980?
I would not put it past her. I'll tell you what. I would not.
I wouldn't be surprised. That's incredible. There are so many people like that.
Yes.
There's another one. Carol Bailey is another one who so often wants to know the names of all of our missionaries, mm-hmm. where they're serving, mm-hmm. because she wants them to be prayed for. She wants them to be covered. She wants them to know that they're not forgotten and that they're being, well, somebody is back here in America holding the ropes on their behalf.
Yeah.
That's so vital.
Absolutely. That holding the ropes is such a beautiful thought. And we felt the prayers of the saints everywhere we went. You know, I can think over the course of those 10 years that we lived in Hungary, knowing that the body of Christ was fully supporting us in every way, prayer, love, notes, emails. When we would have Eurocon, people would come and just tell us how, you know, they're following what's happening and praying for us, and the church is being benefited by that. And the body of Christ is, you can't have the mission without the ability to carry out that mission. And that's what the body is.
Amen. And when we talk about the mission field, I'll ask you this question. What about those that are serving here in America?
Mm-hmm.
Are they sub-missionaries? Are they something less because they're not serving God on the foreign field? I know that we've kind of covered that already, but I think sometimes they might have this sense that, well, geez, I'm not on the foreign mission field. You know, I'm in Baltimore, or I'm in Boston, or I'm in Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
Is my role as significant as the roles of those that are in foreign parts of the world?
Well, I think Christ would say that one soul is worth more than all of the world. And I don't think that that soul gets extra value if it was won in an airport overseas than if it was at the grocery store in, you know, the Piggly Wiggly in Kissimmee, Florida, you know. I think you're absolutely right, Pastor Love. The temptation to glorify missions in the sense of a location taking precedence. I just love the balance we have in our ministry. I love the fact that we have friends who are in Cambodia and Vietnam, and they're ministering the gospel. We have friends in Singapore today. We have friends, you know, formerly in the Far East. And we look at all those places and we don't go, they're amazing because they're in those places. We say, wow, they're in those places. Isn't God amazing? And we also think that about our people who are right here in our neighborhoods and in our backyard. And that's, again, my local Jerusalem. And I do have a funny story about that. And I've also told this in the school. I have a buddy who had walked into a staff meeting in Hungary wearing a John Carroll t-shirt. And I said, John Carroll, that's in Bel Air, Maryland. That's a mile from my house. And he goes, yeah, I got it when I was at convention. And it just got me thinking that his uttermost part of the world was my local Jerusalem. Now, when I'm in his local Jerusalem, and you got to remember when you walk outside your house in Budapest, the traffic is intense. There are thousands of people going down the escalator to get to where they need to go on public transportation. It can be overwhelming. I am salivating because I'm looking, oh my gosh, look at all these people. I can preach the gospel. I can pass out tracts. Now here's the other aspect that he could be saying. I'm trying to get to work and there's traffic everywhere. Is he as excited as I am? And I happen to know he is. On the other side, he's in my car. We're driving through a drive-thru at Dunkin' Donuts in Essex, and he hears the man take his order and he goes, are you from? And I forget where it was, but it was some remote country. And the guy said, yes, I am. How did you know that? And he said, oh, I was just sharing the gospel with a friend from that country just earlier today. And he had a conversation with this guy at the Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru. And I'm thinking, how many conversations have I had? You know, my gosh, I should be more stirred up in my local Jerusalem because it's equally as important. Now, who God uses to do where? That's God's business, and we're happy when we get to be used by God in one of those situations, but no less value to winning somebody at a local You know, I think of all these little church ministries that set up a book table in a park and have a conversation, and somebody gets one to the Lord, and we have no idea who that person is. Could be the next Billy Graham. Could be the next Pastor Schauer. Could be the next Pastor Love. Could be the next Jehu. Who knows? But God has a plan for them.
Amen. As we mentioned earlier, friends, you can join us if you'd like to weigh in, share a comment, to ask a question. You can do so. The phone lines remain open during our broadcast, so anytime you feel led to pick up that phone and join us, you can. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number in all of North America. And locally in Baltimore, we would ask you to dial the local number 410-483-3700. Andy has reached out to us, says, thank you for your prayers for Lithuania. That's where Andy and his family are serving and have been serving for a number of years.
Yes.
So, Father, we do pray for that ministry, their outreach, the work in that part of the world.
Yes,
Lord. Bless them. We pray for a harvest of souls, Lord, as they close out 2022 and move into the new calendar year of 2023. We pray for all of our missionaries across the globe that, again, they would continue to sow to the Spirit. And if they do, we know that they will reap a great harvest in due season. So bless them, be with them, strengthen them. You mentioned Singapore earlier.
Yes.
Pastor Mike Plunkett and his wife and others who have joined him there. That's a new ministry. That's a new outreach in that part of the world. So please keep them in your prayers as well. And, well, we could go on forever with a long list of individuals in different parts of the world, but suffice it to say that we are reaching the world with the gospel. That's been one of the earmarks of this ministry for decades now, and a great vision. I think recently I was just sharing with someone in New England over the holidays about, you know, our ministry and the outreach of our ministry, and they couldn't believe it. They could not believe that we are in as many countries as we're in.
It's incredible. And you say, how do you find the right country? You know, what's going to happen? And we've all had circumstances where we maybe set out to go to one country. I marched in a conference here with the Czech flag, and I was on my way to Prague, and the next thing you know, I'm living in Hungary. And God had a very unique way of making that happen. And, you know, I've had this conversation. I remember once as a younger person saying to Pastor Schauer, you know, how do I know I'm in the right country, and how do I know I'm... And he says, well, I don't know. What, are you going to win a soul to Christ in the wrong country, and that's not going to count for the Lord? Like, you know, you think about Paul and the missionary trip that they were headed to Asia, right? They wanted to go to Asia in Acts chapter 16. And in verse 6, the Holy Spirit forbade them to go to Asia. And you could say, what is going on with that? You don't like the Asian part of the world that you know, they were headed to? And it's not so much that he didn't want them to go to Asia. It's where he did want them to go. And where he did want them to go led to all kinds of amazing conversions. Lydia, you know, Aquila and Priscilla, and certain movements of God that they could not have foreseen, nor would they have experienced had they gone to Asia. So some of these countries that we go to and we think we're headed here, and, you know, God opens a door somewhere else. And we just, if we're following the Spirit and we're listening to the voice of God, we're going to go where he wants us to go. Now, what are some conditions? Well, it's obviously, you know, a great thing when we can go where, when we can go where the fields are white and ready for harvest. And we read about that in John chapter 4, that we look up and the fields are ripe and ready for harvest. And we say, that's a place where the gospel is, will have an effect. And of course, if we have a way to get to where the gospel is, there's a message ready to have happen, then we want to go there. We think about Acts chapter 2 and the foundation of the New Testament church. You know, there's thousands of people added unto the church that day, and then a chapter later, they're preaching the same message and not getting a response. You know, God draws, God does the adding, God works the circumstances. What do we have to worry about? Just following God's mind. Just following God.
Yeah, and that just brings up another thought, that everybody has such a significant role to play in that, because you know, some sow the seed, some water the seed. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, as you said, it's God who gives the increase.
Absolutely.
And I think that we just have to be content to understand and function in what our role is in that process, because you could be sowing seeds. Like Elizabeth has reached out to us and she says, God's given me a bus stop and a bus riding ministry. Mm. I can talk with about 50 people in an hour.
Incredible.
I hand out gospel tracts, booklets. People are so open. They have questions and they have time to wait. We are all involved in this great commission. And I love that. Like you said, you, at one point you walked across, you know, the stage with the sign with the Czech Republic. Well, it doesn't have to be the Czech Republic. It could be the checkout line in your local grocery
exactly.
store, right? You say, I want to reach people in Mumbai, India, but I can't. Well, then maybe God wants you to reach them in Miami. I mean, it doesn't matter where you are.
Yeah.
As you said,
yeah.
It comes down to the condition of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to reach souls for Christ, you are a missionary.
Yeah. Amen. And of course, we're all secretly hoping that God calls us to a place like Tahiti or someplace where we have perfect weather year round. But also there's their own problems there. You know, you could be a missionary in a tropical climate and have snakes or whatever the situation is. But yeah, I love, Pastor Love, the fact that God is allowing us to be, you know, a car in motion is easily steered. A car that is stuck in its place, it's very difficult to turn the steering wheel. And God has called us into his purpose and into his plan, and it can be right here locally. We could be winning the gospel right here, and on a dime, God could call us overseas if he decided, or he may never. We could be Elizabeth on the bus, 50 people in an hour sharing the gospel. That's incredible. That might be something that never happens overseas. We don't know. You know, God gives us opportunities, and we're faithful to go, and we're faithful to be here. And the most important part is, are we finding out what the will of God is for our lives and then living by faith to go do it?
Amen. You know, God doesn't call us to be famous. He just calls us to be faithful.
Mm.
And if we do that, that's all that really matters.
Yes.
Pastor Jean-Luc in France has reached out, says, thanks, excellent portions. Thank you both. I remember Pastor Stephen said, the greatest privilege of men here on the earth is to love, mission. And mission work is all about that privilege.
Yeah.
Thanks, Pastor.
Yes.
Great thought. Mm-hmm. And of course, I guess it comes down to that. What is our motivation? And Paul wrote to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, I believe, I can't recall the chapter 14, I'm not sure, but he said the motivation that we need in our hearts is love.
Yes.
2 Corinthians 5:14, I believe it is.
Yeah.
That motivation is crucial. And if love is motivating our hearts and we just, you know, care about lost souls because God cares about lost souls, and the more we fellowship with him, the more we carry his burden to reach people for Christ.
Mm. Anything else we carry is not worth its weight, right? I mean, we could have a concept of what it means to be a missionary, and we could go to a foreign field and decide that we have to win somebody culturally, or we have to do this, or we have to do that. And God's mind is for us to express his love towards people. I love the fact that the Great Commission says, go, teach, make disciples, but it says to communicate to them something very important, and that is, lo, I am with you always. What better form of love could we say to anybody's situation? We meet the person on the street who says, I'm going through a very difficult situation and I can't take it. And we say, God is with you always. You know, I'm successful. I don't need God. No, God is with you always. God wants to be there in our most difficult times and in our most successful times. Our identity is not in how poor things go or in how great things go. Our identity is in the love of God being manifest to us.
And what a privilege it is to carry that burden that God gives us. And I say that not suggesting that, you know, God is a great, you know, burden master.
Right.
But we do carry that burden. We
yes.
do have his love, his compassion, and his desire to reach lost souls. And perhaps, friends, you know, you're coming away from spending time with family relatives, friends. And, you know, chances are while you were with them, you realized, wow, there are a lot of hurting people in my family. There's a lot of hurting people in my sphere of influence. And remember, God put you there for that purpose. Yeah. If you are the only one in your family that's been called by God into a relationship with Christ, just know that God has planted you there for a distinct purpose. And that purpose is that they just might hear the gospel through you, and you may be the one that God uses to stir their hearts so that they would eventually make that decision for Christ.
Yeah, amen. And maybe just to wrap things up, because we don't have such long left in the show, but there's there's motivation, as you mentioned. What is our motivation for going? It's the love of God. We're motivated by his love. You know, do we have concepts about going? We could. You know, are we drawn by the love of God, or are we driven by something that we have as a concept? Do we go on the mission field because we feel like it's an exciting thing to do, and this is what I want to do, and people will really think it's cool, and they'll support me, and I'll get likes on my Facebook page or whatever it is? Because, you know, the reality is we're going to get there, and we're going to find out that it's not all glamour. It's not all the museum pictures on the cover of the magazine. It's, there's a real work that happens, and there's real challenges. And as we know, you know, real challenges, you know, my mom passed away visiting me on the mission field. It's a real challenge, but it was in the perfect plan of God. And I'm just saying that if we don't have that motive, right? And it does carry a burden. You're right. There is a burden. Mother Teresa had a tremendous burden for lost people and hurting people. There are people that go in really difficult, Hudson Taylor and, you know, Livingston and all these people who went in a great price, but they would tell you, I would give it all over again for the sake of the gospel being advanced. It's the reason we're on this earth. It's not so that I could get the best job or the most money or have the coolest car. All those things are nice, but they are not the reason we're on this earth. We are on this earth to seek and to save that which was lost, just as Christ came to do in Luke 19:10.
Yeah, that burden. You know, I just go back to what Jesus said, his invitation to come to him. You know, and he said that his yoke was easy. And I think sometimes believers have interpreted that is that Jesus promised an easy life. No, he said that his yoke was easy.
Yes.
His burden is light. So no one needs to be frightened or taken back by the whole thought, the idea of, oh, no, God is a great, you know, a burden maker. No, he comes to lift the wrong burdens and to replace them with the right burdens.
Yeah, amen.
And his burden is light. You'll be able to carry it, and you'll be yoked up together with Christ and helping to fulfill his purpose on the earth, because all of those things that you just mentioned, I mean, to pursue those things and to get those things, you're going to realize it's like, yeah, I climbed to the top of the ladder only to realize it was leaning against the wrong building.
Well, that's a great point.
And it's like, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
And you're going to say, you know, if only I had lived a different life.
Mm.
And you don't get a do-over when it comes to life.
Nope.
You just get one opportunity. But to be able to say to Jesus, Lord, here I am. I would like to share your burden with lost souls. Mm. I want to be able to yoke up together with you and to find out what my role and my specific part of that purpose is, because I want to live in it, I want to function in it. I want to be able to come to the end of my life and say, like the Apostle Paul did, hey, you know, I've run the race,
yes,
kept the faith, you laid out, mapped out a course for me, I followed it, and, you know, I'm ready to fold up my tent, I'm ready to go home to be with the Lord, and there's a deep sense of satisfaction and fulfillment within your soul.
Amen and amen. And I tell you, if you're a young person out there today, or not so young person out there today, and you're saying, I don't know what God has in store for me. I'd like to find out, how can I find out what the will of God is for my life? You know what? Go to your church. Come to Bible school. Bible school is an absolutely fantastic place to find out what the will of God is for your life, to learn about his burden, to learn about his provision, to learn about his purpose, and come to Bible school. We have an amazing Bible school right here on our campus in Baltimore. Pastor Matt Garrett, one of our hosts on the show. They have an amazing Bible school. We both have the opportunity to be a part of that. There are students that are going to revolutionize the world by their love for this book and for the plan of God. And maybe you're one of those people, you don't even know right now what the plan of God is for your life. You can find out what it is. Come and test and taste and prove God and see what he can do with your life.
Amen. And there's a new Bible college semester coming up next month, the beginning of the year, the spring semester at NBCNS. And you can be a part of that. Just give us a call here at the Greater Grace World Outreach. One of those numbers, 800-338-7060, and the local number, 410-483-3700. And we'll get you some more information about the upcoming semester, the spring semester at Maryland Bible College and Seminary.
Amen.
Pastor Barry, thanks so much for joining us again.
Yes, Pastor Love, thank you.
And thank you, friends, for tuning in to today's broadcast. We want to remind you that a little less than 24 hours from now, we'll be back live on the air. We hope that you'll join us then. And, of course, we want to remind you that you can always subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. So we hope you'll join us tomorrow. Until then, may God bless you.